You are listening to the Hardball Gets AFL show, specifically the Footy Rhino podcast. If you don't like fantasy football, you are in the wrong place. If you do, you are in the very, very right place, just like a Mazda dealer, because 60 years in the making, it's the Mazda 60th landmark event. Secure a landmark deal on 2018 Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XDRs, and you can celebrate, Jolski, at your Mazda dealer or visit mazda.com.au. Welcome back to the Footy Rhino podcast. Grant Fenn is out. His performance in recent weeks has been disgraceful. Not really. He's just got a lot on at work, so he couldn't work today.
He has a life outside of fantasy.
He had to do some regular work stuff. So apparently a big boss is in town with Fenn, and they go out on inspections. And so Fenn's sphincter will be quite tight. So even tighter than normal. So, you know, while we're relaxing here talking about fantasy sports, he is walking around somewhere stressing out. The Greek Freak is here.
Thank you.
You can hear the great man back from, how many weeks has it been?
It's been a while.
Was the last one you were on the one that I wasn't here?
The one I hosted, yeah. I've gone from the host seat to this seat's falling apart over here.
What was your experience like as a hosting the Footy Rhino? The only man ever to host the Footy Rhino podcast that's not me.
Wow. That's an honour, to
be
honest.
We're about 200 episodes in.
That is an honour. Yeah. I didn't really get a word in that week.
No, Fenn talks a lot.
Fenn was all over it, let's
say. He used
to
not talk at all, and now suddenly he talks all the time.
Well, I think with me in the host seat, he thought, this is my chance. This is my time to shine, which he did shine. He did, like, in fairness, he didn't, you know.
We haven't been able to shut him up since. Well done.
You can call me Braden today. Fill in. How's that?
Yeah.
Fill in on the team sheet.
That's me today.
Braden.
That's so good. I'd love to know. I've barely read anything on the Braden. Are we going with Sia or Sire at this point?
Whatever you're feeling. Whatever you want.
I like Sia.
Okay. Braden, Sia.
So for those who don't know, if you've been living under a rock, he's gone and filled in for his mate's amateur basketball team and put his name as Phil in on the team sheet.
Fantastic.
And somehow Collingwood's been alerted to this. And he's been sprung. So it's pretty funny. I want to know details, though. I want to know, did they only have four players? Was he the fifth? Did they need him to play? You know what I mean? Like,
no, surely it was like, oh, Braden Sear can suit up for us. Let's get him in.
That's
he's
what
athletic.
I think.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know how much he scored. Because I can tell you what, if he was terrible and he only scored like 6 points and they lost the game, the other team probably wouldn't have cared. I reckon what's happened here, he's come in. It's a game they need to win. He's put up 55. And he hasn't been discreet about it at all. And that's alerted the authorities.
Well, he only played 20 minutes, apparently.
So do you know what he scored? Was there more detail?
Apparently it was only 20 minutes. And as you said, it could be 55 points on the team sheet, for all we know.
I need to know what he scored. If anyone knows, let me know. We're talking fantasy today. It's like the second last week of the season for some. For some, it's the last week of the season. Wherever you're at, we've tried to keep the chat pretty general this year. We're doing the awards again this week, and we're going to do a lot of keeper stuff. But we're also going to kind of whiz through the awards, because I want to talk to you about your team, which has been a dumpster fire all year.
Bit of an intervention.
Well, your league, which sounds like a disgrace, and I'm sure there are other leagues out there which are the same. So there's people listening who are like, I hate my league. So we're going to talk about that. But first...
Some awards.
Well, no, before that, a very long-term listener, TWR, he's been a long-time listener, long-time messenger, alerted me to some activity in his league. And he just wants a shout-out to someone who, from the sounds of things, I don't know this coach, but from the sounds of things, is a little on the arrogant side. And it's come back to bite him in a final.
Okay.
So he says he's knocked out his longtime rival and his bunny in their elimination final. And as a precursor to our game, he said, don't listen to the Rhino pod this week. It's all the all sad team. We did the all sad team last week. Witherden, Ross, Burton, the list goes on. Basically, it's TWR's team, unfortunately. However, Kennedy, the smuggernaut, Rimmer, as he's known, the smuggernaut, Rimmer, straight sets exit from the finals, despite being smuggernaut. So I just wanted to let everybody know, Smuggernaut is dead. He is out. And it sounds like he should have probably won the flag.
Right.
Based on his expectation of himself. I'm sorry, Kenny. He said Kennedy and Kenny. I don't know which one it is.
TWR's just getting his wires crossed.
He's getting his wires crossed. On his straight sets exit at the hands of his one true king, Todd. Should be the final nail in his coffin.
Is this a novel? Where's this coming from?
He's pretty passionate, TWR. And I feel like I've stuffed it. But look, basically all you need to know is that Kenny the Smuggernaut.
He's gone.
Yeah, long live the
So congratulations,
king.
TWR.
To Todd. Yeah.
Good on you, Todd.
Yeah, I'm guessing the T in TWR stands for Todd. So there we go.
Good on him.
The best performance in a leading role from the weekend. Toby Green, 142, fifth straight ton. He's averaged 135 during that stretch. Three scores over 142 plus. You're smirking.
Toby is a man of mine for a long time. I traded a lot to get Toby into my team.
Yep.
And when he does well, he does very well.
He does,
but
doesn't he?
For the first half of this season, it offends me that he's in this category. But anyway.
I know. Well, the first part of this season, he wasn't even included in the leading actors.
No.
We were putting him in the worst, and then we decided he wasn't a leader.
I know.
But he's back. But he's well and truly back.
When he's good, he's good.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I feel like if the trading was open for your leagues and you weren't in it, now would be the time to sell really high. Don't you reckon?
Absolutely. You'd with Toby. Just... Suspensions and injuries are Toby's... He's like the new Jared Wade, I'm going to say.
But better
than Jared Wade.
Wow, that's brutal.
I've been a Toby Green owner for 3 years. I'm allowed to be brutal.
Matt Crouch, 151. So look back on his season. He started the year with 7 straight tons. He's only had 5 in his last 10. But his form seems to be turning. He had 126 and then he's had this 151. So he might be the guy who surprises you in the finals and gets you over the line. Zach Merritt, he deserves a shout out for going big in a game where the Bombers barely touched the ball. Averaging 108 for the year. He's had 50 in round 1. He had a 57 in round 16. Everything else has been 95 plus.
Yeah. We were scared opening a couple of rounds with Zach.
Well, that first round in particular, 50, was a terrifying thing. So, Jack McRae, 132. He's had 9 straight tons. Wow. One away from a pinder. You probably don't know what that means.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Yeah, in the old footyrhino.com.au days, a pinder meant 10 straight tons after Lucy Pinder. And 134.7 is his average during that stretch.
It's very good.
Mm. But who wins the award for you?
Toby, definitely.
Okay.
Because he turned it around. He's a success story in this category.
He's. Do you know what he's done? And this has happened in our league. If you had him and you were sort of middle of the pack, like kind of contending but kind of not, and Toby's flicked this switch, he's actually changing leagues, I reckon. Like if you had him, if you were sort of that guy who was like the third in your league to win a title, and suddenly Toby's flicked this switch, you're 30 or 40 points better a week from nothing.
Mm.
You haven't done anything. It's just Toby's gone freaking mad. So it's
mad or reached his potential.
Oh, this
he
is
should
a,
be pulling this
nah,
out.
He
most
shouldn't
weeks.
Be averaging 135.
That is a lot.
Like that's a lot. Like if he averaged 100 for the season, I wouldn't really blink. But if he averages 135 in a 5 week stretch, that's a little overs, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's overs for Toby.
That's a shift.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Toby Green is the man. Who would have thought? The worst performance in a leading role. There are a few here. Some of these guys are leading, quasi-leaders. Joel Selwood, we probably wouldn't put him as a premium anymore.
Not
but
these days.
He'd be on your field in a draft league, though.
Yeah.
40. Luke Parker, the same, 53. Zaharakis, 53. Tom Lynch at the Crows, 57 after a really good stretch. Dyson Heppel, 59. And Trav Boak, 59. Only his second score under 80 for the year. So we'll give Trav a pass. He's been fantastic.
He has been fantastic. And no one saw that coming.
Who would be the worst performance?
Dyson's got to get that one, doesn't he? Because all those other names, as you said, kind of... Tom Lynch is in the primo category. What?
Dyson Heppel and Luke Parker are the two best premiums there, other than Boak.
Yep.
So I would give it to Parker. You give it to Heppel. Yeah. So Parker.
Parker. I have learned that
You're not hosting anymore.
Yeah, coming off the bench, I've learned that.
Best supporting actor, I only had 3. Jared Lyons, 158.
That's incredible.
7 tons in his last 12, including 4 of 130 plus. His third straight year averaging 94. That is insane. Jared Lyons is another guy who is helping you win leagues right now.
Get him into your team, Jared Lyons. Try get him in.
Oh, it's probably too late for that.
You reckon?
Yeah, I would have thought. Okay. Dale Thomas, 130. old Daisy. Ed Curnow, 122, and he's averaged 105 since Teague took over.
Really?
He's on the train.
He is on the train.
He's on
the
train.
All the players are on the train.
Oh, they love it.
Looks like.
I'm giving it to Jared Lyons, right?
That's incredible. 158. That's, yeah.
I mean, Ed Curnow is pretty close.
Because you're going to be playing Jared Lyons in most games, isn't it?
Well, now you are, yeah. For sure. Like, he started the year pretty poorly. He's really turned a corner.
Half bench, half on.
Yeah. Worst performance in a supporting role. Ooh, there's a few ugly ones here. Cam Zerha. Been pretty solid all year. So enough for people to go, yeah, you can be my fifth forward, Cam.
Yeah.
23. Jared Harbrow, 23. Ben Brown, 27. Shane Mumford, 37. And Jack Revolt, 39.
That's a very tough category.
It's hideous.
Just the names are hideous.
So who's the most likely to be on the field?
Probably Harbrow.
Mumford or Revolt?
Harbrow in defence.
He would be a starting defender for most leagues.
You know, you're not that person, but yeah. You'd think he would be. Unfortunately for Jared Harbrow owners.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's either him or Rewalt for me.
Ben Brown, actually. He's not
Ben
a bad
Brown's
forward.
Pretty, it's all pretty disgusting.
But Ben Brown, big forward, you can expect a 37 once a year.
That's true.
Jared Harbrow.
27.
23. Mm. That's not great.
Most ridiculous. The Jay Schultz Award for the performance that would have stunned you the most had you been playing against them. You would have been throwing things at walls. Jack Graham.
Now, incredible.
Now, I was an owner early in the year. He got dropped for ages. His form was down. I got rid of him. I wish I'd kept him. He's been far better in the past 8 weeks, but this was out of nowhere.
Did I say 14 tackles on his
14 tackles and 4 goals.
14 tackles.
And 4 goals. 146.
I don't even know what 14 times 4 is. Do that math.
56. He only touched the ball, I think it was like 18 disposals or 19 disposals, for 146. That's
insane. Incredible.
It's insane.
That is ridiculous.
So well done to Jack Graham. He's capable.
This just popped into my head, and I'm going to say it.
Do it.
Because I got a microphone in front of me,
sure.
So I can.
Yeah.
Took Miller. Did you see if he gets a tackle this week, it will be 100 or something consecutive games he's laid a tackle.
Wow.
Incredible stat.
Doesn't...
He's a tackler.
But wouldn't that happen a lot?
Would it? I don't know.
For midfield.
I saw it. I read it. And I was like, that's incredible.
Like, if I said to you, Elliot Yeo's done that, would you be surprised?
Not Elliot Yeo. Maybe Took.
So you're surprised because it's Took?
Yeah.
Okay.
He lays tackles.
Isn't he kind of a tagger sometimes, though?
Yeah, I guess so. I thought there was a stat on Took. Mm. I'm going to take it.
It's not that surprising.
Okay.
It's a shit stat. That's a shit stat.
You know where I got it?
Where?
Shit stats. It was on the shit stats Facebook page. Give him a
there
follow.
There you go.
Give him a follow. It is fantastic.
There you go. Willie Rioli.
I've been found out for quoting shit stats.
I had no idea it was on shit stats. I didn't even know shit stats was a thing.
Get on Facebook, shit stats. Amazing.
Willie Rioli, 109.
Yep.
You would have seen him on the field for the other team and you would have gone, you beauty.
Yep.
Willie Rioli's going to get 60. He didn't. Jack Stephen. Now, we know Jack Stephen's a capable fantasy product, but he hasn't played in a long time, Jolski, and he's come in out of nowhere and put up 105. You'd be filthy.
Would you? What you expect. You know that's going to happen.
But you'd be most filthy about the fact that he's playing that week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Dan Hannanbury, same thing, 117. Played three games for the year.
See, I think I've just been so unlucky for my whole fantasy career owner that I've come to expect stuff like that. You know the week.
So for you, nothing's ridiculous.
No, exactly. That those two names aren't ridiculous. And they were going to do it at some point, weren't they, this year?
I would have thought, yeah.
It just happened to be in semi-final week. Oh, well.
Will Hayes. Do you know who he plays for?
don't grill me, Rhino. No, Bulldogs.
Yes. Will Hayes at 101.
I'm not paying the Hannanbury and Stephen one.
Okay.
In most ridiculous.
Okay.
It's ridiculous they're playing, not the scores.
Okay.
Who'd you say before Rioli?
Graham.
Oh, yeah, Jack Graham wins.
It's Graham, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love Jack Graham. That's another level.
That's out of this world.
That's insane. It's Graham. And that's it. We're not going to do the kids. We're not going to do the old men.
No. It's too late for that, isn't it? There's one round left.
Exactly.
It's irrelevant. You're either in the finals or you're not.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah, correct.
Now's the time you pull the trigger with the. Can you quickly go over your story that won you a grand final? Was it Rewalt? that you put on the field?
Oh, no. Oh, well, I'll take you back. We're going back.
It's story time. It's story time. It's finals time. Yeah, story time. Okay, let's reminisce.
This was my greatest, one of my greatest achievements as a fantasy coach.
I'm literally settling into this seat, ready to listen.
So I had the best team all year. Easily the best team all year. I'd set records for the highest scores in the league history. Put 2,000 up in a week. Now, to put that in perspective, no one else has got anywhere near 2,000. In fact, I think one other person's only ever got 1,900.
How many people in your league, sorry? Just
12.
12-person league.
Previously 14, now 12. Okay, so it gets to grand final week. I have a decision to make. I can play one of Ben Brown, who I think was coming off 7 goals. So he'd put up like 120 the week before. Bob Murphy, who was playing in his last game.
Last ever game.
Yep. Luke Hodge, who was playing in his last ever game.
Wow.
For Hawthorn. At the time, we thought it was his last ever game. And Matthew Boyd, who was playing in his last ever game.
Yeah, I remember
that
game,
I had three guys. That was the Friday night game.
Mm.
So you had those three dudes playing each other, Hawthorn and the Dogs, and Eddie had. And then you had Benny Brown. So I agonized over this all week. I asked everybody I knew who knew anything about fantasy sports. I think I even put a poll up at one point. Like, I was leaning towards Bob Murphy all week because he had the narrative. Everyone was talking about Bob Murphy and how good a bloke he was and yada, yada, yada. So I was like, I feel like it's Murphy, right?
Kick a couple in his last ever game.
Yeah, because...
Swing him forward.
Because of other swings, I could have played anyone. Forwards, backs, mids, whatever. I had the capability to swing around. So I'd basically decided that it was Murphy. And then on the day, so it's the Friday night, and the pre-game starting, like the stuff on 7, you know, like the montages about the highlights of the career and stuff. And they flash to the room and I see Bob Murphy, and it's about half an hour before the game, and he's in tears.
He's crying.
Crying. Like, not sobbing, but enough for me to know that he's crying.
He's emotional.
And I look at it and I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. He's going to be emotionally spent. He's worn out. I feel like Bob Murphy right now is rattled because he really doesn't want to retire, but he's retiring. It's all in his head. He's a thinker. He's a thinker.
He is a thinker.
Be worried. Be wary of thinkers.
Okay.
So
you need robots.
Yes. So the next clip, literally after that, they start playing the Matthew Boyd montage. And Matthew Boyd, he's racking up stats and yada, yada, yada. And
fantasy
then it comes
star.
Off Matthew Boyd and they show him in the rooms. He ain't crying.
He's ready to go.
Steel robot face. Right? What happened? So I switch. I go, that's it. That's the only sign I need. And Matthew Boyd's, he's fantasy football royalty.
He is royalty.
We forget this, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
Midfielder, defender later in his career.
And he had back status.
Yeah.
So I switch. Bob Murphy into Matthew Boyd. Matthew Boyd comes out and I think he put up 157.
Wow.
Something along those lines. It was stupid.
Yeah.
First quarter, like on 20, and then he just went full
just
junk.
Went nuts.
Full junk. I win the grand final by 3 points.
Hold up, though. What did Bob get? What did the emotions get to him?
Terrible. Like 50-something. Okay. Hodge was about the same. Ben Brown struggled. It was the only decision, and I won the game by 3 points.
3 points.
3 points. Yep.
Grand final win by 3 points.
Because Bob Murphy cried. If they'd flashed to that change room and Bob Murphy was smiling or steel-faced or anything.
Yep.
Or if it just hadn't happened at all, they hadn't crossed to that change room. The production quality was lower than it should have been.
You owe a grand final to the director.
I would have lost
that night.
I would have lost by 150. It wouldn't have even been close. Like, that is... And that was a season where I basically went through undefeated, set records, and it came down to that moment.
So you are a massive advocate for fantasy football not just being stats and pieces of paper.
Yeah.
There's emotions involved.
There is. If it was just about numbers and probability, which sometimes it is, don't get me wrong, I crunched the numbers that week too.
Are we talking like 98% of the time it is? Yeah. Okay.
But there's just that 2%. There's the 2%
emotions.
Where you've got to take narrative and emotion into account.
Wow.
It was staring me in the face all week. Matthew Boyd, fantasy royalty. Anyway.
Did you end up going to all these people you asked and say, this is what happened?
Oh, I told this. Don't think this is the first time I've told that story.
I asked you to tell it.
You've heard it before. So that's one of my proudest moments as a fantasy coach.
Great stuff, Ryan.
I won't tell the story now, but I had a very similar finish to my NBA fantasy season this year to win the title, and it came off as well. So in those big moments, you need balls.
This is why we do it.
Steel balls.
Robot balls.
Robot balls. Giant robot balls made of steel. That's what you need. What we're going to do now is we're going to talk about your experience.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hold on. We're going to do keep a corner first.
Keep a corner.
The crush. Fenn's not here. It's the crush.
Okay.
Nick Caulfield. I wanted to talk about Nick Caulfield because he'd started to turn a corner and he was averaging like 80 in a couple of weeks and he had like a 69 in there somewhere. And then the first quarter against the Dockers the other day, halfway through the first quarter, he was on like 37.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, we're about to see the Nick Caulfield game like we'd seen in the previous couple of weeks with some other guys. Hunter Clark had a couple of those games where they announced themselves to the fantasy world and say, hey,
I'm here.
Just be aware I'm here. I'm going to be a guy.
I exist.
Yep. And then he put his collarbone out, I believe.
32.
Yeah. So he gave a free kick away. So he must be on 35. Went down to 32. Came off, never came back. Out for the year. Now, if you're a Nick Caulfield owner and you had seen nothing throughout the whole year until these last 3 weeks, that quarter, to me, is enough.
Enough?
Yep.
He's gone 82, 84, 69, and then the 32.
Yep. And so it would have been fantastic to see that. Here's 110. I'm capable. But I think we'd already started to see enough, and that first quarter he was junking. Now, there's every chance he plays that whole game out and ends up on 55. But we don't know.
Likely.
We don't know. But to me, that's enough. He's a high draft pick, clearly under Ratten, and Richardson was obviously holding him back in some way role-wise. So clearly he's got a bit more freedom and direction. So I think come next year when you're selecting your keepers, if you've got Nick Caulfield, I feel like you have to back him in. He may let you down, but I feel like you have to back him in.
Take the risk.
Well, obviously it depends on who you're choosing between.
Defender. He keeps defender status.
Oh, absolutely.
Contracted till 2021.
Sure.
Yep. So he'll play. You hope.
Yeah.
You hope he's on the list.
He'll be there. He'll be there. So I just wanted to quickly chat about him. Zach Bailey. Look, at this point of the year, you're looking for guys who might be on the waiver wire that are worth holding on over summer. It was the first time Zach Bailey's shown any signs of being decent. He's probably not. Jack Bowes.
Bosey.
98.
We knew about him, though, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
He's always been coming.
Yeah, but great to see.
Yeah.
One I just want to quickly talk about before we move on to your thing is Brett Deledio.
Yeah, star in his day.
Oh.
A fantasy star.
Brett Deledio, regardless of price, was always one of my first picks. I just loved watching him.
Yeah. Just had that fluent movement.
He's very handsome. We like to acknowledge the handsome bloke.
Does that come into it?
The Footy Rhino podcast. We like to acknowledge.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm watching Jack Stephen run around with his mullet and about 10 kilos overweight on the weekend. That's what I'm about. Just the man's man. So
the
he's
man's
a man's man.
Could have been playing in North Ballarat.
Yeah. He's had some beers in his time off, you know, and it shows.
Some.
And he came out and said, I can still play footy. I don't have to be fit. Look at me go.
Yeah, true. Stick me in the forward pocket. Yep. I'll kick you three.
So respect to Jack Stephen and respect to Brett Deledio.
For different reasons. So just a nod to Lids. A nod to Lids. Once a defender, once a forward, a mid. Like, he did it all.
He did do it all.
He did it all. Fantastic. And
great career.
Retires. Those damn calves.
I'll get you.
So, your experience. Now, you are an obsessed fantasy coach. You've been playing fantasy football for a long time.
I have.
But this year, you are disillusioned. Now, tell me about your league.
Define rock bottom. What's your definition of rock bottom? I've hit rock bottom this year, Rhino.
Okay.
In fantasy terms.
All right. Well.
Which is sad.
That is sad.
But you can bounce back from that.
You can. So,
I hope.
But your team is a disaster. But that's fine because sometimes teams are disasters in keeper leagues and you have to. Like my team was a disaster this year. I had a lot of fun making trades, getting draft picks, you know, looking for diamonds in the rough. It was actually a really fun season for me, even though I was never trying to make finals.
That's what it should be.
That's what it should have been for you. Was it not?
Well, I just have this stubborn league, Rhino, that just don't want to trade.
Mm.
The DMC Cup. DMC.
What does that stand
league
for?
Daniel Metropolis Cup.
Okay.
DMC.
Love it. Can
Why
I
wouldn't
ask,
it be named after Daniel Metropolis?
How many teams in the league?
There's only 8 of us.
And how many trades were completed in this season?
2 hours before lockout was the first trade of the season. Can you believe that? Rhino.
So you have a trade deadline.
Trade deadline, just before finals, which was last week.
What was
week.
The trade?
Someone just pulled the trigger and went, bang, bang, here's my first two picks next year for... Don't even know, Rhino. I couldn't even tell you.
But that was the only trade.
The only trade of the year, despite my endless efforts to try get something for someone in my team. Pendlebury and Heppel I've been trying to offload all year.
Joel, I hate to say this.
League is dead.
It's dead.
It's sad as well because I've commissioned the league from day one.
Well, this is you. This is on you.
And now I'm... Is it my fault, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's on you. How many years has the league been in operation?
Four or five.
Yeah. So the lifeblood of all keeper leagues, and I've said this all along, is movement.
Yeah.
Free agency, trades, draft picks, discussion about those things. It's not even about the actual trades being made, but there has to be constant conversation and fluidity of players. That's what makes it great. It's the mistakes we make. It's the hits that we pull off. It's, oh my God, I got absolutely screwed in that trade. I will never trade again. And then doing it again 2 weeks later.
Now, that's what's happened. Too many screwed trades. All right, so everyone is scared.
So when the league started, there was lots of trades.
Oh, left, right, and centre. And then...
It's just been on a decline since.
You want to know the one that scared everyone into just...
I do.
I've already told it on this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
It was the Sam Walsh pick one trade.
Well, that was you.
That was me. I've single-handedly scared everyone else in the league
into
trading.
So because of your terrible trade... People and no one else wants to.
I think so. I think that's what it is. I don't know. You'd have to ask them, Rhino. Get them on a podcast. They'd never go on a podcast. One might. Shout out to you, Stampy. Anyway.
The great Stampy.
No,
I think your league's dead. And I think
dead.
The problem is because if you don't have movement, then what is it?
No, exactly.
Because there's no community there. I would have, so there's 12 teams in our league. I would have trade conversations with every single one of them. That's the other 11 teams, on multiple occasions throughout the year. I reckon there were around 25 to 30 trades executed in our league.
That's a good number.
Maybe it's not that hot. It's some bigger trades than others, some irrelevant almost, some huge. But you just need movement, man.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you may as well play classic, Rhino.
Well, yeah.
That's what classic is.
Classic is a selfish man's game.
Yep.
You do your own thing.
Do your own thing. Get a salary cap.
I hate it.
Oh, well.
I hate it.
You hate classic or you hate...
No, I hate it for you.
Me
too. I hate your league.
Yep. Yeah, Thank you, Rhino. Yeah. I really appreciate that because I've been telling people, the other seven people, that all year.
No,
I hate you all.
It's terminal.
It is terminal.
It's terminal. There needs to be more movement. I don't know what you can do, whether it can be opening up trading options.
Someone floated.
Yeah.
Trade periods. So you have to trade within that...
Have to.
Have to within that just period. So it can't be open. So go the other way. Does that make sense?
Okay, so let's
There's
say...
There's only a certain period
between,
of time you can do
between
this.
Rounds 7 and 10...
Has to be
you can trade. But how is that going to increase trade?
It may not. Don't know.
My thing's always been with trying to increase movement is to give everybody more stuff to trade. And that doesn't mean more picks or players. But how can you create an incentive to trade? And how can you give people more assets? Because often what happens is... No one wants to do straight player for player. People get funny about their picks. Is there something else that can be done? And one that I've always floated, which I like the idea of, and I've never been able to get it across in any of the leagues I'm in, but I think it's an idea in keeper leagues, is the ability to trade keeper spots.
Wow.
Mm. So
that is
take my list, for instance, this year, right? We keep 18. I've probably got 17 certain keepers and maybe 8 guys who I would consider in the mix for that last spot. So I would love to keep 20. I can't.
You can't.
But I would love to. Now, what if there was a world where, say, the guy who's sitting 3rd, 4th, 5th, whatever, could trade me a couple of his keeper spots?
I like this world.
I give him a couple of players.
That is a fantastic
idea.
So
for the next year going in, I keep 20, he keeps 16. And at the end of that year, it reverts back to 18 and 18, unless you do it for longer.
So what are you giving 16, well, let's the 16
say,
team?
Well, players.
Players.
Let's say I've got a veteran like a Cade Simpson and he needs a defender. Instead of trading draft picks or other players, I say, well, here's one of my, I want one of your keeper spots. And he doesn't care because he's trying to win a flag.
I like it.
And maybe he only has 14 guys he really likes anyway. So it's a way of shifting assets again. I think it's a thing, right?
I do. That's definitely a thing.
And you could do it for it. Okay, well, in the contract, it says I get 3 years' worth of your two keeper spots, or 1 year. And you know what I mean? There's value on different levels.
I do like
that. Or I get three spots this year, two spots next year, one spot the year after, you know?
Probably have to – you can't have top of the ladder keeping more, though.
No, that's fine.
Really?
That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
You can't put trade restrictions on who can move what.
Okay.
You can't do that. Because then that creates a whole different problem. So you shouldn't be penalised for where you sit on the ladder. Assets are assets, and everyone values them differently. You can't. You start putting restrictions on things, you're limiting trade.
I can hear 11 other voices yelling at their podcast playing thing right now, Rhino. It's easy for you to say as a three-time, four-time premiership coach, isn't it?
Only one in this league.
Oh, one in this league.
Four
okay.
times in the NBA. One.
Oh, okay.
But once in this league. Yeah. I just think it's something to think about for everyone out there as an asset. I mean, everyone has their different ways of trading, but I've always liked that as a possibility to basically give everybody more assets to move. So you make a trade and you maybe include a draft pick and a keeper spot, you know, or, you know, you just make things, it's a bigger package to trade.
Do you know the longest ever keeper league in AFL terms? What's the oldest one you've heard of?
That I've heard of?
Yeah. Back in the 80s, was there one? Was it a thing?
I don't know. Ours is 7 years in, 7 or 8 years in. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the time when I first started hearing that they were even a thing.
Okay.
So I reckon that you'd find some that had been 10 plus, I reckon.
Be a good little poll.
If anyone's listening that has a keep, tell us how long yours are, but I reckon you wouldn't find many longer than 10.
10 is as good as you can do, you reckon?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do another little quick exercise and run through?
No, because you've told me my league's dead.
Your league's dead. There's no point in worrying about who your keepers are at all because your league's dead.
League's dead, Rhino. Thanks.
Okay. So, going to do some questions. There's not many because a lot of people are out.
Yeah. It's season over.
John Smith, Fenn is a flog. I think my question was too late last week. What did you guys think of Michael Schumacher's son debuting for Carlton? Not much media attention for the first ever Formula One AFL father-son combo.
Gee, there you go.
It's not. He's taking the piss.
Oh.
He's taking the piss. Joelski, you obviously didn't listen to the Old Footy Rhino podcast, but Fenn is known for making assumptions based on family names and members.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He thought Richie Vandenberg was Aaron Vandenberg's father.
I have heard that.
How happy, this is from TWR, our man Todd. How happy did the all-sad All-Stars make some coaches in elimination finals last weekend? Now, I haven't got the bloody list here. But so last week, Fenn and I named our all-sad team, which was the team that was basically atrocious all year that shouldn't have been. Angus Brayshaw, 100+. Seb Ross, 100+. Cade Simpson, 100+. The list of players, there was about 12. Witherden went big. It was almost every single player. Sam Jacobs even played and went massive. It was insane. How big?
That hurts.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah. It was nuts. It was almost like they were listening to the podcast. It was crazy.
They could have.
We'll get Fenn, because he'll actually do it, to listen back to it and get the stats on what that team would have actually put up, because it was redonkulous. It was actually redonkulous. Toby McLean, he went big. Everybody went big.
So what you're saying is, if you want your team to go well, you just put in a question, ask it to you two 1 week,
and then next week,
bank on them
going
big.
Maybe we should do the team of sadness earlier next year. John Smith, again, Fenn is a flow. Also, who do you guys think is the most vanilla player in the AFL? I'd have to say either Kyle Hardigan, Luke Brown, or Darcy Gardner. Some great choices.
Vanilla is in
boring, like nothing, just...
Just
you
existing.
Walk past, you wouldn't know it was him. You know, like if you walk past Darcy Gardner or Luke Brown. If you saw Luke Brown
has a very just generic face, doesn't he? Yeah. Describe him for me. He's got short brown hair.
Brown hair. Just slightly above average height. Not a big build.
There's a soccer player named Joe Allen.
Plus his name's Luke Brown.
Yeah,
might as well be John Smith.
There was a soccer player named Joe Allen who used to play
That was from John Smith. So
there you go.
Yeah. Anyway,
he used to play for Liverpool and now he plays for Stoke City.
Mm.
And he genuinely looks like an accountant. He looks like someone that shouldn't be playing professional sports. Skinny, doesn't have any skill.
No.
I almost think he rocked up one day for an accounting interview and just made his way onto the training track, and he's actually an accountant. It's hilarious to watch.
What about Dylan Grimes?
Dylan Grimes?
Pretty boring looking.
Oh, but he's a good player, though. He's a good defender.
Oh, so is Darcy Gardner.
Wow. Yeah. I guess so. That's why I was describing vanilla.
We should make it all vanilla team and wait and see how they go. Churdo 5. Love the pod, boys. Keep it. And thank you. For keeper leagues, Prestia needs some love. Nearly MVP for me this year after 2 years of shite. I'm really happy for you, Churdo, that Dion Prestia has turned it around. I was all out on Dion Prestia. I thought he was done from a fantasy perspective, but he has come on big time. I think Cochin's,
you know, absence has helped.
Well, yeah, and Cochin moving to the back seat of the bus. Like, I feel like Dion is going to be... Richmond has been typically a pretty poor fantasy team for a while. I think things are starting to turn.
Yep.
Like, Jackson Ross was really good on the weekend. Marlon Pickett will probably play either this week or next. Like, I think there's some things are starting to turn.
Gee, Pickett will be exciting.
It will be.
Rhino, I got some questions too. I put it out there to the internet world. Ostrich says, does Joel Selwood have any keeper relevance?
No.
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 None whatsoever.
None.
Okay. Same for Tom Liberatore. Keeper
look,
relevance?
Look, he does a little bit. Anyone who listens to this pod regularly knows my thoughts on Tom Liberatore. I am not a fan. I feel like he's really one-dimensional, and I don't feel like he fits into what they do.
Yep.
Like, I feel like their best stuff is running and going and gunning and skill, and he's not a skillful player. He's
definitely
not a great
not
runner. I don't know. I don't feel like he's in there. For me, I don't feel like he's in their best team.
Gee.
So I'd be a bit concerned.
Okay.
I mean, he'll be in their best team, if you know what I mean. Like, they'll name him. I don't really like the look of it. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions?
Go. None from me. That was it.
Well, thank you, Jolski.
Thank
for
you.
For coming in. It was a fantastic performance off the bench.
Fill in.
Yeah, fill in. Well
Very
done,
good.
Phil.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We will do one more pod next week, I think. To wrap up the season.
Grand final week, yeah.
Do it. No, because it could be grand final week for people next year.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely do one more.
Team of the year.
We should probably do a team of the year.
Yeah, probably do a team of the year. Sorry, Fenn. I've just created more work for him this week.
And Fenn, if you're listening, go back and listen to the All Sad team for us and tell us who was actually in the team. Thank you to Mazda. You are listening to the AFL Hardball Gets show. I mean, if you're listening, you're probably subscribing already, but if you're not, subscribe. And if you do subscribe, give us a rating. Make it a good one. And, yeah, we'll hopefully keep doing the show next year.
Do we need to mention Sven's sphincter again, or do you reckon you've mentioned it enough?
Probably
once
tight.
Once is enough?
It's pretty tight.